first reading is a reading from the book of the prophet Jeremiah. Thus says the Lord, cursed is the one who trusts in human beings, who seeks his strength in flesh, whose heart turns away from the Lord. He is like a barren bush in the desert that enjoys no change of season, but stands in a lava waste, a salt and empty earth. Blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord, whose hope is the Lord. He is like a tree planted beside the waters that stretches out its roots to the stream. It fears not the heat when it comes. Its leaves stay green. In the year of drought, it shows no distress, but still bears fruit. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The sponsorial psalm is, blessed are they who hope in the Lord.
Blessed are they who hope in the Lord.
Blessed the man who follows not the counsel of the wicked, nor walks in the way of sinners, nor sits in the company of the insolent, but delights in the law of the Lord and meditates on his law day and night.
Blessed are they who hope in the Lord.
He is like a tree planted near running water that yields its fruit in due season and whose leaves never fade. Whatever he does prospers.
Blessed are they who hope in the Lord.
Not so the wicked, not so. They are like chaff which the wind drives away. For the Lord watches over the way of the just, but the way of the wicked vanishes.
Blessed are they who hope in the Lord.
The second reading is a reading from the first letter of St. Paul to the Corinthians. Brothers and sisters, if Christ is preached as raised from the dead, how can some among you say there is no resurrection of the dead? If the dead are not raised, neither has Christ been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is in vain. You are still in your sins. Then those who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. If for this life only we have hoped in Christ, we are the most pitiful people of all. But now Christ has been risen from the dead, the first fruit of those who have fallen asleep. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
This morning comes to us from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Jesus came down with the 12 and stood on a stretch of level ground with a great number of his disciples and a large number of the people from all Judea and Jerusalem and the coastal region of Tyre and Sidon. And raising his eyes towards his disciples, he said, blessed are you who are poor, for the kingdom of God is yours. Blessed are you who are now hungry, for you will be satisfied. Blessed are you who are now weeping, for you will laugh. And blessed are you when people hate you, and when they exclude and insult you and denounce your name as evil on account of the Son of Man. Rejoice and leap for joy on that day, for behold, your reward will be great in heaven. For their ancestors treated the prophets in the same way. But woe to you who are rich, for you have received your consolation. Woe to you who are filled now, for you will be hungry. Woe to you who laugh now, for you will grieve and weep. And woe to you when all speak well of you, for the ancestors treated the false prophets in the same way. The good news of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning.
Last week after Mass ended, I told Father Greg that he gets to take the week off, right? When we were talking, I mentioned a lesson that I learned back when several years ago in the musical. We had had a performance where it seemed like maybe instead of inviting the Holy Spirit to be with us while we were singing, we invited Murphy's Law. We had a few folks who had nearly tripped on their way to making their way to the risers, and microphones were cutting in and out, and there was all kinds of static noises, and there were times where several of us lost our place in the music. You know, it went on and on. And the following week, Dwayne Copsey, who was in the musical from the Methodist Church, he told me while we were getting ready to do our next performance that we needed to make sure we invite the Holy Spirit this time. We had forgotten to do that the week before, and a performance like that is what you get if you forget to invite the Holy Spirit. So it's something that I try to keep in mind whenever I stand up here, too. So when I listen to the readings today, Jeremiah talks about the difference between trusting in human beings versus trusting in the Lord. The hope that's brought by trusting in a person begs me to ask the question, what does a person lead you to? What do you seek for yourself by looking to a person or looking to material things? Do you look for someone to lead you to God or to something else? Maybe wealth or status, celebrity? Is it wrong to seek those things? And are those things wrong to have? Does having those things make you bad? The psalm echoes Jeremiah a little bit. It says, "Blessed are they who hope in the Lord." Paul's first letter to the Corinthians says that if we do not believe Christ to be raised from the dead, then what faith do we have? All the faith that we've placed has been in vain. And then Jesus brings the disciples with him to speak to the crowd from Judea, Jerusalem, Tyre, and Sidon about the concept of what sounds like maybe the haves versus the have-nots, but not in the way that we might conventionally think about it. It's nice to acknowledge when you're blessed. And what the Holy Spirit maybe told me as I tried to gather my thoughts for a reflection is that for the last several weeks, as we reflect on where we're going as a parish and what we want to do with the opportunity we have here as a church, is to remember that St. James once saved my life. So, now that I've gotten that part out of the way, what should I do today after church is over? Is there anything good on TV today? Any sports? Anything like that? Some of us may have been watching the Olympics this past week. A lot of us will watch the Super Bowl, or at least part of it today. Zoe, I'm guessing, is probably looking more forward to the Puppy Bowl, maybe than the Super Bowl. Which I have to admit, I've always enjoyed that more than I thought I would. The ratings for the Olympics are way down, but I've always enjoyed watching them for as long as I can remember, so I still do. But the readings today don't really have much to do with that. But we do hear Jesus say things that sound a lot like political populism. There are meaningful differences, but on the surface, the message kind of touches on the notion of, as I said, the haves and the have-nots. Blessed are those who are poor, hungry, mocked, insulted. Woe to those who are rich, filled, laughing, or well thought of. So how does sports like the Super Bowl relate to the haves and the have-nots? Well, let's think about the Super Bowl for a minute. There'll be hours and hours of pregame hype, and it's going to cost a lot of money to produce this stuff and to broadcast it. There's going to be 30-second commercials that appear right before halftime that will cost millions of dollars to get that most precious television real estate time. There will be billionaire owners and billionaire network executives in suits that we'll see in their luxury boxes with their wealthy friends and business partners. Then there's the game itself, which is played by millionaire athletes, surrounded by fans in seats. Many of those seats I've heard sold for as much as $8,000, maybe more. These are the haves. Those of us who watch at home, we may or may not be the have-nots, but relative to a lot of the people that we'll see on the TV screen, there's some things going on there that are way too rich for my blood. Now, I'm not suffering for this. I'll be okay. But when the game is over, I think there's a good chance that a player from the winning team is going to be interviewed, and we may very well hear them give thanks to God for making all of this possible. We've heard it before. It may not happen today, but we do see that all the time. We see it in sports, Grammy Award acceptance speeches, graduation speeches, all kinds of things where accomplishments are being celebrated. And it's nice to acknowledge when you are blessed. The athletes who compete in the Olympics or the Super Bowl don't get there without having some kind of faith. They've all trusted in someone in their life to lead them to the mountaintop. There are coaches along the way, and for most of them, there are family or friends who made sure that they drove them to practice and got there on time and supported them from the stands. Many of them have also placed their faith in God to give them the strength that they needed when they didn't know where else to look for it. It's natural, and it's good to acknowledge those whose shoulders you're standing on. And it's exhilarating to get to the mountaintop. Whether we are doing it through our own accomplishments or living vicariously through someone else's just by watching your favorite team on TV. So when we hear Jeremiah and Jesus warn us about wealth, material things, and placing our faith only in human matters, it gives me a little pause. And I ask myself, am I doing this right? It takes an act of faith to get to the mountaintop, and yet Paul the Evangelist tells the church in Corinth that without believing that Christ is resurrected, all of this is for nothing. And when I think about how Jesus talks about the rich, I don't think I get a sense of condemnation just for being rich. But I can kind of relate it to a story that I heard back when I was a residence hall RA, back when I was in college at Heidelberg. Part of being an RA meant attending regular staff meetings and workshops. And one of those workshops used a variation of a story called The Star Thrower. Maybe many of you could have heard some version of it. But it talks about a wise and wealthy author who liked to go to his beachfront house to do writing. And he would write while he was taking in a beautiful view of the ocean. While he's writing, he'd often stop to look up and watch people who were walking along the beach or watch the waves crash as the tides shifted. And then one morning after a stormy night, the beach was very empty, and the crashing waves overnight had washed thousands of starfish onto the beach. And then the tide began to recede, and the sun began to come out. And the weather became calm. So thousands of starfish are sitting there on the beach, doomed to bake in the hot sun before the tide would come back in to rescue them. The man went for a long walk on the beach and saw a boy picking them up and throwing them back in the water. And he asked the boy, "What are you doing?" And without stopping, the boy just continued to pick them up and throw them into the water. And he says, "If I don't throw them back, they'll die." The man said, "Well, that's nice, I guess, but there's miles of beach. It would take forever to even make the slightest difference." And the boy continued doing what he was doing, picked up another starfish, and then as he held it in his hand, he looked at the man right before he tossed it and said, "Well, it makes a difference to this one." And then he tossed it into the ocean and continued to go picking up more. The man left the boy to do his work. He walked back to his house thinking about how cute but naive that boy seemed. He even started to feel a little jealous of the boy's childlike innocence. But he went back to his writing, and he couldn't stop thinking about him. And as the day dragged on, he found his amusement about it kind of changing to a sense of sadness. He thought this boy had chosen not just to be an observer in the world, but actually to be an actor who tried to change the outcome. A week or so after that workshop, we had had a staff meeting, and I got up in my feelings a little bit. I'd had a resident who was kind of getting on my nerves. He was difficult to deal with. And So the other RAs listened while I kind of vented, and then the coordinator of the meeting, he's my boss, he told me, well, look at it this way. Think of him as one of those starfish and challenge yourself to be useful to this guy in a way that could make a difference. That's not what I wanted to hear. He was right. So when we find ourselves having our own sort of personal Super Bowl winning moment, it is nice to thank God for how we've been blessed with talent and resources to maximize our potential, realize our dreams. Once we've been to the mountaintop, the question is, why did we want to get there in the first place? This is where I start to connect achievement to what Jeremiah, Paul, and Jesus are saying in the readings. Now that we're here, what are we going to do with all of the new opportunity that this presents us? Did God bless us just so that we could have a life of comfort? Or were we blessed with resources to try and go save some more starfish? After my family moved away from the home where I grew up, I no longer had a home church. And I didn't want to become Catholic at the time. I didn't have anything against being Catholic, but I had already been baptized and confirmed in another denomination. I already had a religious identity, and I didn't feel like I wanted to renounce it or change it. But I also didn't want to go to church alone, so I was kind of stuck. And I was living on the margins without a church that felt like home to me, kind of like a starfish drying out on the beach. That is, until the diocese decided to try and close St. James. And then there was a whole bunch of other starfish in this room that were sitting on the beach with me. And St. James, as a parish, kind of became my lifeline together. And we found our way back to the ocean. There were a lot of starfish throwers that we encountered on the way. And we've been blessed, and every day that this church survives is an opportunity to not just give thanks to God for blessing us, but also an opportunity to answer the question, what are we going to do with our second chance while we're here? How can we find those other starfish out there that need a lifeline just like we did? I think about this often as we reflect on where we're headed as a parish, and it's nice to acknowledge how blessed we are. The challenge from the scriptures is to use our blessings as opportunities to maybe be a blessing to others who need it just as badly as we once did. And no matter how well off we may be, this is the work that will make us the poor, hungry, and possibly even the mocked and ridiculed that Jesus spoke of. But we can be the marginalized who will be blessed by God in everything that we do.